Just a quick note before we dive in, this entire episode is AI-generated, including the voices you're hearing. Today's show is brought to you by Mindflow Notebooks, the fictional planner that helps you organize thoughts you didn't know you had. And yes, that sponsor is completely made up too. Some details in our conversation might not be perfectly accurate, so please double-check anything important to you. I'm Marcus, and today I'm talking with Elena about something called the SIFT framework. Elena, you've been thinking about digital literacy and misinformation for years now. What drew you to SIFT specifically?
Well, I come at this from the trenches, basically. I teach high school students, and I watch them navigate information online every day. SIFT caught my attention because it's supposed to be this practical, quick method for evaluating sources. Stop, investigate the source, find better coverage, trace claims back to their origin. But honestly, I'm skeptical about whether any four-step process can really cut through the complexity of how information moves online. My students don't live in a world where they can just pause and methodically fact-check everything.
That's interesting. I came at SIFT from a different angle. I was looking at how professionals in newsrooms and research institutions actually verify information under pressure. The framework appealed to me because it seemed like a distillation of real practices. But your point about the pace of online life makes me wonder. Are we asking people to adopt habits that work against how social media platforms are designed to capture attention?
Exactly. And there's something else that bothers me about SIFT. It assumes the person using it has a certain level of digital fluency to begin with. Like, investigate the source sounds simple, but what does that actually look like for someone who doesn't know how to read a URL or understand how Wikipedia's edit history works?
That's a fair criticism, though I wonder if that's more about implementation than the framework itself. When I look at SIFT, I see it as trying to encode professional skepticism into habits that regular people can use. The stop part especially, there's research suggesting that even a brief pause can interrupt the emotional response that makes us more likely to share misinformation. That seems genuinely valuable.
But does it work in practice? I mean, when my students see something that confirms what they already believe or makes them angry, telling them to stop feels like telling them to stop breathing. The emotional reaction is faster than conscious thought.
Let's dig into that. You're seeing this with real students every day. What actually happens when you try to teach them SIFT or similar approaches?
They get it in the abstract, but then they go back to scrolling through TikTok and Instagram where the whole experience is designed to be frictionless. They'll fact-check something in class because I'm watching. But outside of class, the incentives are all wrong. And here's what really gets me. SIFT puts all the responsibility on individual users to fix a systemic problem. It's like telling people to solve air pollution by holding their breath.
I hear you, but I'm not sure that's entirely fair. SIFT isn't trying to solve the entire information ecosystem. It's trying to give people tools for the ecosystem that actually exists. When I look at examples of SIFT being used well, it's often in situations where someone has a specific motivation to get things right. Like a parent trying to figure out whether a health claim about their kid is legitimate.
Okay, that's a good point. Context matters, but even then, the find better coverage step assumes there is better coverage to find. What if you're dealing with a breaking news situation where reliable sources haven't caught up yet? Or what if you're in a community where the mainstream sources that SIFT would point you toward aren't trusted? There are whole populations for whom investigate the source means something completely different than it does for, say, a college-educated journalist.
That's a really important challenge. You're highlighting how SIFT might embed certain assumptions about what counts as authoritative. But doesn't that make the framework more important, not less? I mean, if different communities have completely different standards for what counts as reliable information, don't we need some shared method for evaluating claims that can bridge those divides?
Maybe, but whose method? SIFT was developed primarily in academic and journalistic contexts. It privileges certain kinds of evidence and certain kinds of sources. That's not necessarily wrong, but it's not neutral either. I have students whose families immigrated from countries where government sources and mainstream media were actively untrustworthy. For them, lateral reading might mean checking with community networks that SIFT wouldn't recognize as authoritative.
You're pushing on something crucial here. But let me push back a little. Even if SIFT has cultural assumptions baked in, doesn't the basic logic still hold? Like, the idea that you should try to verify claims by looking at multiple sources? What if the issue isn't SIFT itself, but that it needs to be adapted for different contexts, rather than applied universally?
I could see that. But then we're talking about fundamentally different frameworks, not just variations on the same theme. The skills someone needs to evaluate information in an immigrant community dealing with healthcare misinformation might be completely different from what a suburban parent needs. And honestly, I keep coming back to this question of whether individual media literacy is even the right level to focus on. The platforms themselves are optimizing for engagement, not accuracy.
But here's where I think you might be setting up a false choice. Can't we work on platform-level solutions and individual media literacy at the same time? Think about it like defensive driving. Yes, we should have better traffic laws and safer car designs, but that doesn't mean teaching people defensive driving techniques is pointless.
That's a compelling analogy, but I'm not sure it holds. Bad drivers mostly hurt themselves and people immediately around them. Misinformation spreads exponentially. One person sharing false information can reach thousands of people within hours. And unlike driving, where the rules of the road are mostly stable, the information landscape is constantly shifting. New platforms, new manipulation techniques, new forms of synthetic media. Can SIFT really keep up with that pace of change?
That's a fair point about the exponential spread. But maybe that's exactly why we need frameworks like SIFT, not because they're perfect, but because they give people some kind of systematic approach instead of just hoping for the best. Let me try a different angle. When you see your students successfully navigate complex information situations, what are they actually doing? Are they using any of the SIFT principles, even if they don't call it that?
That's a great question. The ones who do well are often doing something like lateral reading. They're checking multiple sources, looking at who's behind information. But they're usually doing it intuitively, and they're often much faster about it than SIFT would suggest. They'll open 5 tabs at once, quickly scan for contradictions, maybe check what their trusted community members are saying. It's more fluid and social than the methodical approach SIFT describes.
So maybe SIFT is trying to formalize and teach something that digitally native people are already doing naturally? That could be valuable for people who didn't grow up online, even if it feels clunky to your students.
Maybe, but I'm worried we're still thinking about this too individually. Even when my students do check sources well, they're embedded in social networks where misinformation can feel more credible than accurate information because it's coming from people they trust. SIFT doesn't really address that social dimension. It treats information evaluation like a solo cognitive task, but that's not how most people actually encounter or process information.
You're right that SIFT doesn't address the social dynamics directly, but I wonder if it could be adapted to work better in social contexts. What if instead of individuals using SIFT alone, communities used it together? Like, what if when someone shares something questionable, the response isn't just, "That's wrong," but, "Hey, let's SIFT this together." Could that make the framework more collaborative and less judgmental?
I like that idea in theory, but I'm skeptical about how it would work in practice. The people who are most likely to share misinformation are often the least likely to engage in collaborative fact-checking. They're sharing because it confirms their worldview, not because they want to test it. And there's a power dynamic issue, too. Who gets to initiate the "let's sift this together" conversation? Usually, it's going to be someone with more education or cultural capital, which can come across as condescending.
Those are real barriers. But let me ask you this. If not SIFT, then what? You've identified serious problems with individual media literacy approaches, but we still need people to be able to distinguish reliable from unreliable information somehow.
I think we need to be much more honest about the limits of what individual users can reasonably be expected to do. Maybe instead of teaching everyone to be fact checkers, we focus on helping people identify the sources they trust and understand why they trust them. And then we put much more energy into making sure those trusted sources, whether that's local news, community organizations, or whatever have the resources and incentives to provide accurate information.
That's interesting. You're basically saying we should focus on strengthening information intermediaries rather than eliminating them, But doesn't that bring us back to questions about who gets to be a trusted intermediary and who decides? I mean, if we're going to rely more heavily on curated sources, the curation process becomes even more important. And SIFT-like skills might be crucial for the people doing that curation, even if we don't expect everyone to use them.
You know, that's a really good point. Maybe the issue isn't SIFT itself, but how widely we're trying to apply it. Professional fact-checkers, journalists, people in positions of information responsibility, they absolutely should have these skills. But for most people, maybe the more important skill is recognizing when they need to consult someone who can do that deeper verification work.
So we're talking about a kind of division of labor in information processing. Most people develop good instincts for when to be skeptical and who to consult, while a smaller group develops the technical skills for deep verification. But that raises a new question. How do we make sure that division doesn't become another form of inequality, where people with more resources get access to better information verification?
Exactly. And it makes me think about what schools should actually be teaching. Maybe instead of trying to turn every student into a fact-checker, we focus on helping them understand how information systems work and how to navigate them strategically, like understanding why search results are ordered the way they are, or how to recognize when you're in an information bubble, or how to find credible sources within your own community.
That feels like a more realistic and maybe more democratic approach, but I keep coming back to those moments when someone really does need to evaluate a specific claim quickly. A health decision, a voting choice, something urgent. In those moments, even an imperfect framework like SIFT might be better than nothing. It's not that everyone needs to be a professional fact-checker, but everyone occasionally faces situations where they need to think systematically about information.
I can accept that. Maybe SIFT works best as an emergency toolkit rather than a daily practice. Something you pull out when the stakes are high and you have the time and motivation to use it properly. But that means we need to be much more realistic about when and where we expect it to be useful, rather than presenting it as a general solution to misinformation.
Right, and maybe we also need to be clearer about SIFT's assumptions and limitations. It works best for people who already have certain digital skills, who trust certain kinds of sources, and who have the time and motivation to use it. But even with those limitations, it might still be valuable as one tool among many, rather than a comprehensive solution.
I think I can live with that framing. SIFT, as a specialized tool for high-stakes information decisions, not as a daily practice for everyone, and paired with broader efforts to strengthen information ecosystems rather than just individual skills. Though I still worry that in practice, it'll get oversold as a general solution because that's so much easier than doing the harder work of addressing systemic issues.
That's probably a fair worry. The history of media literacy is full of approaches that promised more than they could deliver. Maybe the real test of SIFT is whether its advocates can resist that temptation. What strikes me is that our conversation has moved from "Does SIFT work?" to "What is it actually good for and under what conditions?" That feels like the right question.
Yeah, and it makes me think about how we evaluate any educational intervention. The question isn't whether it solves everything, but whether it provides genuine value for specific people in specific situations. I'm still skeptical about teaching SIFT broadly to high school students, but I can see it being valuable for adults who are motivated to develop better information evaluation skills.
So maybe the big question we're left with is this. In a world where information systems are getting more complex and manipulative, what's the right balance between individual skills and collective solutions? SIFT represents one approach to empowering individuals, but as you've pointed out, it can't carry the whole weight of fixing our information problems.
And maybe that's okay, as long as we're honest about it. The danger is when tools like SIFT become substitutes for harder conversations about platform accountability, media funding, and information equity. But if we can keep those broader conversations alive while also giving people practical tools they can use, that feels like progress.
Lena, this has been really valuable. You've pushed me to think much more critically about the contexts where SIFT does and doesn't make sense, and about the assumptions embedded in individual media literacy approaches.
And you've helped me see that my frustration with SIFT might be partly about expecting too much from it. There might be a place for systematic verification skills, even if they're not the whole answer.
I think the question we're leaving listeners with is whether we can develop information tools that acknowledge their own limitations, and whether we can resist the temptation to treat any single framework as a silver bullet for our information problems.